This is KUT. In 1941, 6 months after the attack on Pearl Harbor that launched the U.S. into World War II, Japan attacked a second U.S. installation off the coast of Alaska. The Japanese would occupy two of the Aleutian Islands for more than a year. The first attack was on an installation called Dutch Harbor. One of the soldiers stationed there was a young private named Ramon Rivas. For Veterans Day, his daughter, KUT's Maggie Rivas Rodriguez, has this story about her dad and that almost forgotten part of World War II in the Aleutian Islands.
Dutch Harbor is on the island of Unalaska. It's part of the Aleutian Island chain in the Bering Strait off the coast of Alaska. The Aleutians are treeless, volcanic islands and had been fairly isolated until the 1940s. World War II brought change to that remote part of the U.S. and to people like my father.
I went in April 14, 1941, and the war didn't start until December. Everybody was going into service back in those days, joining up, and I was one of it.
In 1999, I interviewed my father about his wartime experience in Dutch Harbor.
We was the first soldiers that went over there, and it was so beautiful. When we landed there, was lots of flowers, pink and light blue flowers, and green, the whole thing. All the mountains and everything was just beautiful. We landed over there 15th of September, 1941.
The soldiers settled into Unalaska. They dug tunnels and pillboxes, concrete dugouts with slits to observe and to shoot from.
You didn't have to walk on top of the soil at all. We had even tunnels underneath it. Everything was camouflaged. We sleep under the ground and live there. And we had to walk about a mile down to the base to eat 3 meals a day. Of course, we didn't go 3 meals a day. We maybe went 2 meals a day.
It was morning on June 5th, 1942, when the Japanese fighter and bomber planes made their first pass.
Well, I was in boat details. We was unloaded in a boat. And then when we see this bunch of planes coming over, we was waiting for them to come. Before that happened, they sent 35 of us men from Dutch Harbor to the other end of the island with nothing but our rifles and two 30-caliber machine guns, and that was it, to hold the other end of the island.
For 20 minutes, the Japanese plane struck Dutch Harbor. They hit an oil tank farm, some army barracks. They destroyed part of a hospital. U.S. anti-aircraft guns brought down a Japanese bomber.
Anybody that said that I didn't cry and things like that, I said they have to be crazy, something wrong with cabeza, because when you see those bombs coming down and things like that, you cry and you pray because of your life.
When it was over, 32 Americans were dead. It was a war that threw together people from all backgrounds. Most of the servicemen were men like my father, men who had seen little of the world before, but whose eyes were opened by their experiences.
Back in those days, since none of us had too much of any education, we didn't know anything about the country or I'm to be proud to belong to this country because this is United States of America and things like that. Now today, you ask me and I know something about it. But back in those days, we didn't know any better.
The military knew it had to find a way to assimilate the men into a fighting force. They created propaganda, posters emphasizing different ethnic groups, but underscoring their Americanness. NBC Radio made a series of programs entitled They Call Me Joe. In one, Joe was a Giuseppe, an Italian. In another, Joe was Jose, a Mexican-American. In another, Joe was a Slav, and so on. Movie director John Huston joined the Army Signal Corps and spent 6 months filming servicemen on the islands off Alaska. In his film, Report from the Aleutians, Huston showed Americans rising above regional and ethnic differences.
Down Eastern accents mixed with Texas drawls and Middle Western twangs and Brooklynese. Bookkeepers, grocery clerks, college men, and dirt farmers. That is, of course, ex-dirt farmers. Ex-bookkeepers, ex-college men, soldiers now, as though all their lives they'd been nothing but.
My father and his family were native Texans, but he could get by with speaking only Spanish in the segregated ranching town he grew up in. At first, he was the only Spanish speaker in his unit.
And when I was in the Lucian Islands, that I used to be in guard like 3 o'clock in the morning, we used to hear in the Spanish, this is station here at Eagle Pass. That was a station that we could hear real clear.
This was one of the powerful border blaster radio stations in Piedras Negras. When conditions were just right, those radio waves could bounce all the way to Dutch Harbor.
Era una chiquilla todavía, cuando tú casualmente me encontraste.
People don't think that you can lose your language if you don't practice it. Eventually you're gonna lose it. I used to catch myself speaking Spanish, you know. So when I come back home, I could talk to people.
After the war, my father did return to Texas. He married my mother, he used the GI Bill to go to barber school, and opened a pretty successful barber shop in a small town south of San Antonio. He had one son and 6 daughters. And to his everlasting satisfaction, all 7 of his children got at least a high school education.
The Second World War changed my life to make me what I am today.
My father died in November 2000 at the age of 79. He flew an American flag every day. And he was forever proud that he gave his country 4.5 years of his life. Maggie Rivas Rodriguez, KUT News.
I'll be seeing you in all the old familiar places that this heart of mine embraces.